Romans chapter number 6, in verse number 9, says this. I'll begin reading in verse 8. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more." And this next phrase is where the gist of our message will come from this morning, and that is this: "Death hath no more dominion over Him." You know, this day we gather to celebrate the resurrection, and the reason why we celebrate the resurrection. And I want to preach a message to you this morning with the Lord's help entitled this: "Death Dethroned." Death dethroned. That's exactly what happened when the Lord Jesus laid His life on Calvary and rose from the tomb the third day. That's exactly what happened, and something, a great reason for us to be here to celebrate this morning. So before we begin in our message, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I am thankful again for this wonderful crowd. Lord, I know many family members are here, and just a wonderful day to worship together and be together afterwards for fellowship. And Lord, thank You so much for giving us a reason to celebrate. Thank You, Almighty God, that we can be assured in our hearts that Jesus indeed did rise again. And Lord, as a witness of Thy Word and a witness of Your Spirit this morning, we say thank You. And God, would You work in hearts this morning and draw us closer to Yourself as we reflect upon the resurrection. Lord, I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something I love about this time of year, and something that just makes it absolutely beautiful, is the springtime blooms that are going on all around us. You know, it is my favorite time of year. I love all the seasons, but especially spring I really do enjoy. And just until recently, I enjoyed it even more. I've got that annoying allergies that some of you may can relate with on that. As pretty as things are, they can be the allergies can be annoying. But apart from that, boy, the sights and smells are just beautiful. I especially love the old dogwood blooms. I'm so thankful. The place I'm renting in Arcade, the owner of the home, he has three or four beautiful dogwoods and mature dogwoods too. That they had just an incredible bloom this year. And just out walking the kids, smelling those. I love the smell of the dogwoods. I also love the smell of old red tip blooms. Boy, Mama, I grew up, the neighborhood that I grew up in, my mom, I remember we had red tips in our yard. And man, that springtime aroma coming from those blooms, I loved it. And also the azaleas and the gardenias. The beautiful aroma of the gardenia bushes that you see around. It's gorgeous. In fact, if you haven't, most of you probably have, but if you have not had a chance to ride down this road, Jefferson River Road, headed toward 129, maybe 3 miles from here, it is one of the most beautiful ponds that I've ever seen. And they have some of the most gorgeous blooms of azalea bushes, gardenias, and dogwoods all around the pond. It just is picturesque. You have to go down there and see that if you have not. And those things are just amazing this time of year. But one of the things we forget sometimes, and thinking about this beautiful time of year, is that, remember, not too long ago we had fall and then winter. And those blooms, those leaves that were once there through spring and summer came into fall, started dying. And eventually, through December and January, even though we did have a very mild winter, those leaves and those blooms did die off. But we look at them today and they're back. And may we remember that these dead leaves that had fallen now are the nutrients, to those that have been reclaimed to new life. These trees and these flowers, those same nutrients have been reclaimed to new life. And I want us to recognize this morning with the Lord's help that we too need to recognize that we can be reclaimed from death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
You know, the Bible talks about in John chapter number 5, verse 24, that, in fact, I'll just turn there. In John chapter 5, I want to quote it correctly to paint the picture of where I want us to go this morning. John chapter 5, verse 24 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus is speaking, He said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life," and get this, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And that's what I want to speak on this morning with the Lord's help, is how we can be passed from death unto life, and how Jesus Christ truly made that possible. Point number one this morning is simply this. The enemy is death. We want to talk about here death. Now, that I know that can be sort of morbid and thinking, you know, why do we got to talk about death? Well, listen, to really enjoy the resurrection, you got to understand the death that we've been brought from. And so let me, with God's help, show you from the Scriptures on this thing of death and how it truly is an enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26 says this, very short verse, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The Bible refers to death as being the last enemy. Now, I want us to see, number one here, under this enemy is death, I want us to see its origin, its beginnings. Where did death start? Why death? It's such a sad and difficult thing to deal with in our life. And where did it begin? Well, you see, let me say right off something that is so important for us to remember from a theological standpoint, but even from a practical standpoint. Death was never a part of God's original design. It was never a part of His original plan for man. Adam was immortal. He was not intended to die. And I will prove that from the Word of God. You see, that all changed though. Even He did not intend Adam and Eve to experience death. That was not His plan, but they chose otherwise as a result of falling in, choosing the temptation that Satan brought to them. You know, Genesis 3:3 says this, as Eve was responding to the serpent, Satan, she said this, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden," she said to him, "God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." And the next three words says, "lest ye die." And so we see here that this was what God had told them. Now, here's an interesting thing to think about. At this point, when they were told that, they had never experienced death. But they understood it. Adam was an intelligent being. God gave him intelligence. And he knew what vocabulary. I mean, he named the animals. He gave them their names. He understood. He could think. And so he knew of the concept, but had never experienced it. And he shouldn't have, but he did. If I can explain it to you like this, little Thomas, if we're out walking, and I explain to him that, listen, son, we were just out walking yesterday, and of course, cars coming by, we try to get off the road as much as possible. But if I'm holding his hand and I'm saying, now, son, you have to stay close to Daddy. Because these cars come down here, if you get hit by one of these cars, you can die. Now, does Thomas really understand that? Because for one, maybe he's never witnessed it. Maybe he's never seen someone die. Maybe he's never seen an animal die. But he can understand, he has the intelligence to understand that it's dangerous. And that it's not a good thing. And that's what I believe Adam did know of, but despite of that, he chose and Eve chose to go against God's clear command to eat of the fruit that was forbidden. And death entered into the world. In fact, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." There's your death by sin. And then it says, "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Scriptures talk about three types of death. Let me quickly explain them to you. The first one is spiritual death. That simply means being alienated from God. Separated from God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, the phrase, being alienated from the life of God. There's that separation is what death speaks of. And then, something that's very real to all of us is physical death. Because of the choice to disobey God, there was not only a spiritual death of a separation from God spiritually, but then it was also a physical death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, and that is it appointed unto man once to die. You know, I know this is not something we like to meditate on, but we all have an appointment with death. One day we will meet it. We don't know when, but I tell you one thing, we can be ready. And we don't have to fear. And I believe God's will is for us not to have that fear. And we're going to talk about how we can get rid of that fear. But there is a physical death. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 22. It says this, for we know that the whole creation, that's talking about all the humans, even the animals. It says, for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. He's talking about in the context until that resurrection day. But you see that it is real. We all are failing. Some of us are failing a little faster than others. Some of us are struggling a little more than others. But no doubt all of us are dying in the physical sense. We're growing older. And that is a result of death that passed upon all men. And then there's the third aspect of death. And that is also entitled in the Word of God as the second death. The second death. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 14 says this, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and it says this, very clear, this is the second death. That will be one day all those that have rejected the gospel, they are in a holding place. They're in a holding place, even right now, it's there, it's real, just like heaven. There's a holding place for all those that reject the gospel called hell. And one day, at a place called the Great White Throne Judgment, all of the dead that have gone to hell through all these ages will be resurrected, will be delivered up to the Great White Throne, and then that will be the second death. And all of those that have rejected the gospel, they will answer before God and then be cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. And please, church, guest, let me make this clear. That is not God's will for anybody. It is not His intentions whatsoever for one person to come to that great white throne. That was not His will. But because a man rejects the gospel, he has no choice. So we see this matter of death, but praise God, let's get to the good news. We see this enemy is death, but number two this morning, I want us to see the victor is Christ. The victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His resurrection, death is dethroned. And that's why I'm so thankful tonight as this wonderful choir sang out praises to Jesus Christ on the resurrection. Well, I'm telling you, I just think we ought to be able to get excited about the resurrection and what God is doing. We see here very clearly that death has been dethroned. Listen with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. It says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Listen to this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Alive! I tell you, I love that children's song. I know I got to be careful on singing because I can scare people away. But y'all know that old song, alive, alive, my Jesus is alive. Alive forevermore. I don't know the rest of it. I have to have my wife helping me. But I love that song, and it speaks of the resurrection of Christ, that He is a living Savior.
And today, as we think about the destruction of death, may we not get caught up in that and forget about the victory in Jesus Christ. Listen to what Romans chapter 6 verse 9 says again. It was our original verse. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. He's dethroned. Death no longer has a threat to us. No longer a threat to the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, who put Himself on the cross of Calvary. And the third day arose from the dead. He overcame it. And it's no longer a threat to those that will look to Christ. Listen to Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Jesus says, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. The Word of God says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. He destroyed it. And I'm so thankful He did. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Can I say, dear friend, here today, let me make very clear what we believe here at the Creek. And our members should know it too. No man can be saved apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel and the gospel alone. It is not works. It is not church attendance. It is not baptism. My dear friend, it is the pure gospel. It is the Lord Jesus abolishing death and overcoming it through the resurrection. Oh, I love this great fact. You know, Jesus Christ, He hates death. He hates death. You think about that statement. Go with me over to the book of John. The Gospel of John. Go over to chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. This is the account of Lazarus, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And listen to verse 33. It says here in John chapter 11, verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. This is a funeral. This is a time of grieving. Listen to what the Word of God says. He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. He was deeply moved. As he saw this account of this funeral of Lazarus lying dead, and I want you to understand that this Greek word, abrimnomai, is different than just being emotionally moved. That Greek word goes much, much deeper than that. It simply speaks of this, and you see it used through the Scripture and the Word of God, it always speaks of a deep-seated anger. The Son of God was angry at death. And He showed that when He marched all the way to Calvary's cross. He was on a mission. And that was to overcome death. And He did. Praise God, He did. Why was He so angry? Because He looked at the power of sin and He looked at the power of death upon the people of Jerusalem and the people of the world and how they were in bondage. And Jesus Christ was not angry at them. He was angry at death. He was angry at the effects of sin and what it was doing all over the world. And that's why our Savior, who is full of compassion, He went all the way to Calvary. Oh, thank God for that great truth. Christ came to overcome death. And we need to live in the light of that great fact. You know, this resurrection that we're talking about, the Bible talks about two resurrections. In the time that we have left, I would like to inform you of what the Word of God says. The Word of God talks about the first resurrection. Now, the first resurrection is dealing with, number one, the Lord Jesus and His resurrection. The Bible talks about Him being of the first fruits of this resurrection.
He was the first of this resurrection. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 through 23. Listen closely, please. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so Christ shall be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. All right, let me explain that to you. That's simply speaking of, number one, Jesus Christ rising on the third day, which we're celebrating today. His resurrection. Secondly, it's talking about those that are found in Christ. The next on the prophetic outline, in clear in Scripture, is called the rapture. That will be the next resurrection. That will be when Jesus Christ comes to the clouds and calls His church away. That's when we will be called away. And wouldn't it be great if it happened right now? As I was preaching in this message, and that will be the next part of the first resurrection. And then the Old Testament saints will be resurrected, and that this is part of that first resurrection. But then there's going to be the second resurrection. And that second resurrection goes back to what we were talking about in our first point. Would you go over with me, please, to the book of Revelation, the last book of your Bible? The last book of your Bible, would you go to Revelation chapter number 20? Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. Now this is again speaking of the second resurrection. Jesus Christ being the first and those that are found in Christ who have the promise of being resurrected, but then you do have a second resurrection. Who is that speak of? Who is involved in this second resurrection? Well, look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, okay, remember we're talking about the dead being resurrected. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, this is talking about that second death that I was referring to, but before that, it will be the second resurrection. And that is when all will stand before the Lord, all those that are not found in Christ. Can I just try to paint a little picture to you here with God's help? Those people that die without Christ, whether it be here or whether it be in the tribulation, whatever it may be, those that die without Christ will one day stand before the great white throne. And the Bible talks about the books will be opened. One of those will be the Word of God, the Bible that you have in your lap or your neighbor has. You will be judged according to that, to the truth that you've been given. And then there's also going to be another thing. God Almighty says that your works will be recorded. And friend, I don't know if you can imagine this. It should be pretty easy with our technology. But the Bible talks about that all of your works, everything you do, this is a person without Christ, your whole life is being taped. Your entire life is being taped by the perfect, omniscient, almighty God. And one day when you stand before the great white throne, those that are without Christ, it will be played before you. Every word, every action, it will be played before you. If you leave this service this morning without trusting Christ, and God forbid, I hope this wouldn't happen, and you were to die, one day this service will be flashed before your eyes at the great white throne. But that does not have to be. Because, let me tell you something, if you receive Christ and His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead, your name will be written in the book of life. And when your name is written in the book of life, dear friend, can I encourage you here this morning that you will not stand before God at the great white throne. Because you know what you receive when you receive the truth of the gospel? You receive a robe of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is given to you. And when God looks at you, He looks at the perfection of Jesus Christ. And when He sees you, He sees the blood of His Son. And all the sins are gone. You won't give... Hey, listen. You will not give an account for one sin. Not one. Amen. At that day. Because when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, I will give an account of what I did for my Savior as a servant. That's what I'll give an account for. But for the sins, they're gone. And the sting of death is gone. And praise God, I'm free. And you can be too, dear friend. This morning, if you are not sure where you will go when you die, you don't have to leave this service this morning wondering. You can leave with the assurance of this precious book, the Word of God, that you can be 100% sure that you will not stand at that great white throne because of what Jesus Christ did for you. I close with this. 200 miles northeast of Los Angeles, there's a lowest place in our country, 276 feet below sea level, called Death Valley. One of the hottest places in our country, probably the hottest. I think one of the highest records they've recorded there is 135 degrees Fahrenheit. I need to go there to remind myself of how Niger felt. I was a missionary in the desert, so I have a little bit of idea of what that's like. But that is exactly where a place where hardly any water flows. In fact, if the little water that does flow through there, it evaporates instantly. You know, they get about they average about maybe 2.5 inches of rain per year. But one year, something really, really bizarre happened. There in that same Death Valley that usually gets 2.5 inches a year, because of some crazy weather pattern that swept across the Death Valley, 19 days straight it rained. And what resulted in it was simply mind-boggling. As that 19 days of rain came across that land, what became before the eye was amazing. That valley of death exploded in beauty, life, and color. What had happened? Well, you see, suddenly millions of seeds that had been lying dormant for so long, they bursted into bloom. They came to life. That which was dead came to life. And I want to tell you here this morning, dear friend, that is the beauty of the resurrection. It is death being passed to life. Something dark, something gloomy, something fearful, going to a something of joy, something of peace, something of life. That's the power of the resurrection, dear friend, and something that we rejoice in together this morning. Listen, beauty transcends from ugly. Life springs forth from death. Love overcomes hatred. I'm talking about an empty tomb, dear friend. And the grim and haunting outline of a cross has swallowed up death and victory. My dear friend, today I hope you will not leave this auditorium without one, praising Jesus Christ for the resurrection. But two, if you don't know where you're going when you leave this earth, that you won't leave this room without getting that settled. Here in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. And I'm going to have counselors here at the front of the... We're going to have ladies and we'll have men. If you're here today as a guest or if you're here as a member and the Holy Spirit has convicted you about your need to find Christ and the power of His resurrection, that one day you will not stand at the great white throne. You come during the invitation. During the first song, I would encourage you to come. We'll have someone ready here to show you from the Bible how you can be for sure of heaven. And then I want to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let the resurrection change you. Let it change you from the inside out. Let it give you understand that you have victory to live daily in Christ. Oh, and the life that it will do, the life it will change is simply a miracle. You will look at people differently. You will look at people that have no hope. You will seek to give them hope. Why? Because you're a believer in the resurrection. I don't know, maybe you're here today, dear friend, and you are a believer, but you are at the bottom. You have found yourself at the bottom. And today, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, You are risen, You are alive, and I'm coming back to You. I want victory. And you know what? You'll get it. You'll get it. Let's pray together. Father, Almighty God, how grateful we are for the wonderful Word of God. I'm thankful, Lord, that Your Spirit is working. I'm thankful that Jesus is here. And Lord, I'm praying that You will take Your Word, the message today, and use it in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You would change someone's eternal course today. I pray, Lord, specifically right now, that there will be not one person in this room that will stand before the great white throne. I pray, Lord, that not one person here in this room will have to stand before the great white throne. I pray that they will understand that You took care of death, and that there needs to be no second death. Oh God, would You do Your work? Lord, we commit this service to You, and we thank You for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.